Welcome, everybody, to ETEC's Leadership Table, part of ETEC and ETS Labs podcast. We're so excited today. Luke and I have known each other, God, for decades. I'm going to be your host, Jim Ayu, president of ETS Labs, chief revenue officer for ETEC Global Services, and my co-host today, the one and only Manu Dwivedi. Manu is my VP over strategy. We are so excited to be in the awesome presence of my friend Luke Jamieson. Luke, you are the CX evangelist at Aperta. And not only that, but I've known you, followed you. We've talked about this for decades and just so excited to be there. You're one of Australia's most loudest, coming from the loud guy here, the most loudest CX storyteller in the business. And I just think it's amazing because we're so passionate about the same things. You're known in the industry for blending that human-centered approach with that automation. Also, I know you trained at Stanford and a bunch of schools. We're not going to talk about all that. I really want to get into this and just start talking about today's topic, because today's topic was labeled around the next competitive advantage is an AI. And everybody's going, what, wait. Luke, you and I talked about this. It's trust. And we want to get in that. So before I start with the questions, you want to say anything?
How about just a g'day and how you going?
G'day! G'day! I love it! All right, cool beans. So question number one. Many organizations are investing heavily in AI as we all talk about it, right? Automation, improved customer experience. Most of them have little visibility into how these experiences or platforms are working, right? In your view, what makes trust the stronger long-term advantage?
Well, Jim, you and I met just recently, face-to-face again at CCW. And walking around that expo hall, it was just AI. And I would be asking, show me. And there were super impressive demos. Like, I, no word of a lie, all the demos were amazing. They were super impressive. And I was like, wow, that's really good. And I'd go to the next one and it'd be equally as impressive. And then I'd go to the next one and be equally as impressive. And I would be saying, hey, so what's your differentiation? And they'd be like, it's agentic AI. It's like, okay, so is theirs, radio. they'd start talking to me about things like our containment rate is at like 95%. And I'm like, oh, rightio, cool. So everyone's differentiating on containment. There was only a couple that were really differentiating on one thing, which was connection and the transfer, that handover to a human. And I thought that was quite cool. So look, to get to your question, where trust comes in. I think for the better part of a decade, we've been trading trust for convenience. Social media came in and we started to do something where we would I ask this question a lot in groups, right? You put your hand up if you believe that trust is the number one driver of customer satisfaction and loyalty and business. And like the whole room puts their hand up, of course, right?
Of course.
And then you're like, awesome. So tell me, how many of you trust your social media provider? Everyone's hand stays down. And yet we hand over our data and our information and all of these things just so haphazardly, so freely. And I would say that the reason we do that is for convenience. For the better part of a decade, we've been doing it for convenience. And we've been looking for this friction because it feels frictionless. The more we give them, the more frictionless it feels because our feeds fill up with the things we want. The algorithms kind of match in what we want. We get great recommendations, all of these things. And so we've kind of become a little bit attuned to that for the last decade. And I think that we're starting to, I think AI has then prompted us to, I mean, AI has been around for that time, but like the AI we're seeing today, the agentic AI where it's really, really smart, can do a lot of things that humans can do. We're starting to question and go, ooh, how much do I trust this? And so the trust equation is definitely coming back into all of this. And so that tally of trust versus convenience is a question that's being asked. And that trade's happening in software now, right? We're starting to see teams vibe coding, right? So organizations, enterprise, have gone through this phase of pausing on buying any tech because They're like, hey, we can vibe code this. We can token max the heck out of this and create our own software. And I think that era is starting to fade as well, because I think what's happening is that enterprises are starting to realize that good software, good technology has been rooted in years and decades of hard work and effort, and it can be trusted. Whereas you can't always trust what's been vibe coded, because there's a whole that's taking all of code from the internet, and it's taking all the bad things that come with that, and then we're trying to create these things. I'm not saying vibe coding's bad, but I'm saying that at an enterprise level, I think that test and learn phase of can we build it ourselves is starting to fade a little bit, because I think they're starting to realize that trust is super important. Being able to trust what is under the hood is super important. So, you know, I think trust is built on reliability. And customers extend trust when things work most of the time, right? And then when something breaks, that's when an organization needs to notice that before a customer does. And if they don't, they need to be able to bring that human in the loop, and because that's where those moments are made. That's where those moments of friction, we often talk about friction as being a bad thing. Sometimes those moments of friction can actually be really good, because they actually give you that moment to build trust and fix something and show that you're there. So
yeah,
you know,
that's a great answer. And I'll just add my one little thing to it. I agree with you. Technology, I mean, it's a commodity right now. And what people don't understand, because we talk about it all the time about, build versus buy. All that trust gets destroyed when the data is wrong. And that's what people don't understand. Manu, you got any thoughts on this one?
Absolutely. You're right, Jim. And Jim, something that you, when Luke was speaking, it literally reminded me of something that you say all the time. And Luke, not just vibe coding, even before that, when you think about it, Jim always says that operators building for operators with operative wisdom, with operator experience, that's going to be totally different than somebody vibe coding or 15 developers sitting with their lights switched off and creating something, right? It's the operator experience that makes you, because you have lived that, you know what problems to solve. So that makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In fact,
I started as an agent. I was the worst agent. I cheated the system better than anybody. So as I got into the tech world and started building things, I was building it as me, the criminal. What would I do? And how do I fix it? All right, Gold Beans. Question number two. Businesses today are becoming faster and more efficient, but customers still value human connections, which we know everybody in CCW is saying you don't need the human. How do leaders create experiences that you can make them feel seamless, but yet also personal?
You think the way I see it is that people frame this as a trade-off. It's either speed or humanity, and you've got to pick one. And in my experience, customers, they are perfectly happy with automation right up until it stops working. And
yes, exactly.
What makes an experience feel cold is being stuck with no path to a person. So we need to design for the handoff. It's something I've been talking about a lot of late. And going back to the top of the podcast where I said everyone was talking about containment at CCW, right? They're not designing they're designing to capture, not to hand off to a human. It's the entirely wrong metric. The moment the customer moves from digital to human is where the whole experience is, in my opinion, won or lost. And if the agent has to ask you to repeat yourself and everything that an AI agent or a bot or whatever you want to call it has collected, then you've failed not just once, you failed twice in that call. And so, yeah, I think the industry measurement is wrong in this space. Containment rates, they treat everyone who has called, who never reached a human as a win. And then we shut the door on them. And so that measure of the handoff, I think that's clean. It's how much context survived, how the customer sounded. And on the other side of the phone. And anytime, yeah, I think we need to reframe that. How do you know you struck the balance? Well, I think you measure the experience as it was delivered, not as it was designed.
That's good.
If that makes sense. You know, if we talk about repeats, we talk about transfer, silence, effort, the journey map that we have built in the last 20 years, it's on the wall. It's a wall of trying to identify friction. but it's kind of all the path to success. We've designed it that way. But until you can see the real thing, real time, then you're kind of a little bit lost. You're really in the dark. And so there's a real difference between personalized and personal. You know, a male merge knows my name, right?
Yeah. You're onto something there. And I'll just give you just what you just made me think about. Like, I've been in this space for decades. I used to be an ops member. I remember leading, chasing these, what do they call efficiency metrics, right? And they were called an improvement to like what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, handle time, they might have dropped it, you know, containment, everybody talks about, you know, containment went up, you know, and everybody's celebrating. But then 6 months later, churn is out the freaking window. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to talk about that. And that's what you're talking about at that balance. If you want to, if to your point, you want to show me balance, show me that CSAT is going to hold steady after automation goes in and after you implement all these things, because that's going to be the measure, in my opinion, of how you're going to actually measure that balance if it's working or not. That's just my 2 cents.
No, I think you nailed that, right? Because personal means an organization remembers what happened last time. And then they behave like it, right? Customers tell, they can tell a token versus a memory, right? They can tell when you know versus, and that's why I say, you know, a mail merge can remember my name, but, and that's personalized, but it's not,
even mail merge,
but it's not personal. Yeah, mate. Look, we were part of the, report that did, it's the largest report. Of contact centers, in the Southern Hemisphere. And what we found is one of the stats in this report was 66% of all handoffs from AI resulted in, a customer being asked to repeat themselves. And now that's, you know, that two out of three times, that's a lot. And so we've still got a long way to go to really get that balance right, you know, to really prove that.
And I think you're onto that too. The one other thing I'd say on that is it's not that the technology doesn't exist, by the way, because if you go back to the old days, I remember this. You used to call American Express, enter your 16 digit number, whatever it is. You'd enter it. First thing the agent said, can I get your account number? I just freaking did it in the IVR. It's the same with AI. It has that data. The question is, did they deploy it? Did they implement it correctly? Or is the agent playing solitaire while that came through and didn't see the screen box? All right.
Yeah.
Question number three.
So I'll say this to wrap that question, to answer it as succinctly as I possibly can. How do you strike the balance? Seamless gets you forgotten in a good way, but personal gets you remembered in a good way. So you do need both.
100%. Question number three. So everybody's talking about this, observing this CX world, right? It's a big hot topic now. Everybody's talking about it. So as AI's entering more and more interactions as we see, the idea that you can't govern what you can't see, how does that kind of visibility help make sure that technology and what we talk about in the beginning strengthens that trust and not weakening it?
Yeah. Well, the thing is we've measured ourselves on the same old metrics for, I don't know, 2 decades, 10 decades. Yeah. Right. And we continue to do so. And, you know, I've just been on a tour around Australia, talking about this exact point, right? So the Artemis mission took place, earlier this year. It was incredible. It wasn't the fact that it wasn't the fact that we sent astronauts further into space than we ever have before. It was the fact that we could see every single second of that live.
All
the time. And NASA had their Arrow system and you could see real time telemetry. You could see the speed of the shuttle. You could see the heat of the hull. You could see the angles and the every little bit of telemetry. And you could see that real time. Real time. It was only delayed by the speed of light. 430,000 kilometers away, miles away. Maybe 600,000 kilometers away, doing some conversion math in my head very quickly, real time. And yet here in Australia or here on planet Earth, you want all of that telemetry of your contact center because contact centers have heaps and heaps of telemetry, right?
Yep.
You want that within your organization, within your AI, you're going to need to wait a week for IT to come back to you with a report. And
That's if you're lucky a week.
Yeah, exactly, right? So observability is the knowing what's happening inside every single customer interaction, whether it's with your AI agent or with your human agent, while it's happening, rather than finding out next month if in some survey result. You know, and why AI raises the stakes right now is that when AI has a bad pattern, it repeats itself like 10,000 times before anybody actually notices. You know, it's not just having a bad day, it's having a cataclysmic day for everybody. And yeah, as you said, you can't govern what you can't see. And so trust in AI comes from evidence, not vibes. And
love that
boards,
word.
Boards are asking right now, how do we know it's behaving? And the answer, oh, we tested it before launch, that is no longer an acceptable answer. It's no longer holding up. And we need to, the practical answer is that we need to monitor AI conversations with the same rigor that we've monitored uptime and real-time conversations. And that experience level telemetry needs to be always on, and it needs to not be sampled, which is what we've dealt with for decades, right? Because what's happened is there's in the industry, there's been these assurance tests. Let's test it in pilot. Let's load tests. Let's do these point in time tests. All these things that were good governance, right? At the time, good governance, because that's what we had. But observability isn't a point in time in historic. It's real time all the time. And being able to see what is actually taking place and giving someone then taking something and collecting that information, interpreting that information, and then giving you actionable insights so that you can take action right there and then.
Geez, and I didn't use reading my website. No.
if you take that though, right, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to empower organizations to catch the errors before a customer tells you, before an agent tells you, right? That's what observability helps. Agree to the choir
on this one. We're with you 100%. Mm-hmm. This is Manu's passion because, listen, if you have a bad experience with a bot, you already know, like in a global economy, I can buy your product from anybody. I don't need you. Yeah. I can go anywhere.
And here's the difference, though.
Experience that is keeping me there. Manu, this is one of your passions about the bots and how you govern. Talk about
it. In fact, think about it this way. Let's say you implemented AI, you went through the testing, you went through load testing, you even went through a pilot, let's say for a week. And now you're not going to observe it at all. You're going to trust a vendor to grade their own homework and come back and tell you everything is working fine.
Mm.
That's what everybody's doing. Sounds only believable, but this is exactly what everybody's doing right now.
Day minus one testing versus day one testing is very different, right?
Exactly. In fact, this was one of the reasons, Luke, we released Verdict. It was a model released and open sourced by ETS Labs because we knew nobody was doing something like this, but everybody was looking for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's funny. All the vendors we talk to, they always, we talk about trust. You know, hey, it's a proprietary, how'd you get there? That's a proprietary algorithm. Well, that's not trust for me. Like, who built it?
Yeah.
People smarter than me. Apparently not, because it's not working, but I'm sorry.
No, you're spot on. And that's the thing about AI, right? Like AI, it fails politely.
It does fail politely.
And it doesn't crash and it doesn't throw an error. It just confidently tells you the wrong
Absolutely
thing
tells you.
In a Absolutely friendly tone. Whereas that's where it's different. You hear the hesitation when an agent's, trying to make stuff up. Look, this is where, and so observability has become this hot topic, and where I think CX observability differs from observability. Observability sits within the silo and observes the thing that you have created or that particular silo to tell you that there's uptime and it's working and it's doing what it's supposed to do. CX observability captures everything from the network all the way down to the agent, whether that's an AI agent or a human agent, and correlates that all together and gives you that information with context. And I think that's the biggest piece. It gives you context as to where something's failing because so much has to go right upstream before you can actually have a real conversation with someone.
100%. All right. Two more questions left. Question number four. This is another one based on one of my books, my CX books. Customers may not always remember the process they went through or the tool, but they all remember the experience, how it made that experience made them feel, which is we you know, as CX believers and evangelists like your evangelists, we want to talk about it. From your perspective, what role does this human connection play in building this long-term loyalty? And is that something that can be measured?
All right, let's tackle the first part of that. So I think you're right. Yeah, people remember the peaks and the endings. They don't remember that process. And human connection, that is what creates the peaks. And we recognize the do, but we really appreciate the who. And care without emotion is absolutely possible. But it's clinical. And I think customers can tell the difference, between resolved and cared for. So yeah, can you, part two of the question, can you measure emotion? Not with one question bolted on the end of a call.
Like that.
Emotion shines, in my opinion, emotion shows up in the signals right across the whole interaction. Tone, pauses, interruptions, how many times someone had to repeat themselves. The interaction itself is the survey. So if you're equipped to read that with things like CX observability, then you're positioned to really measure emotion. You know, we kind of touched on it before, like customers forgive brands they feel connected to, right? If a failure is handled with care, it builds that trust, it builds that loyalty. And then that transaction went through more than say that if that transaction just went through without a hitch, you know. So failure is that friction sometimes is where the relationship gets actually tested and proven.
Okay, go ahead. I was going to say, Manu, I mean, so what's your take on this one? Because I know you and I are both passionate as well as Luke is on this experience.
I think there is an other side of this coin, and that is treat the customer the way they want to be treated. Sometimes when I'm going to make a call, I'm not really looking for them to care or, you know, spend time making sure that, you know, they show me. And it's good, but maybe I just want a resolution right now. And maybe that's one of the reason I would prefer to just talk to you. We have had customers who have put IVR saying, hey, you know what? We can get you to an agent right now. Average wait time is 10 minutes. AI's average resolution time is 3 minutes. And customers pick AI because they're looking sometimes to make that, you know, have a resolution done quickly. So I think there are two sides of that coin. Sometimes customers are looking for a quick resolution, even if it's clinical.
100%. And here's the thing, right? Let me give you two stories on this. One is that we keep saying as a CX industry that, and you hear it all the time, customer expectations are rising. And yeah. I just think that is BS. Don't agree. We keep introducing more and more channels and different ways to service, and we make it, we're trying to make it more sophisticated, and I think we are, but at the same time, we are making it more complex. And, you know, as we add these channels, the expectation is that they work. You know, we're the ones putting the expectation, we're the ones rising the expectations because we're adding more and more layers in which we need things to work. The expectation from the customer, we're all customers. It's exactly the same. And to your point, Manu, we just want a resolution. We want it to be quick. We want it to be simple. We just want to, you know, I'm not calling people to have a chat on the phone. I'm not getting on AI to you know, and having chats with bots, for shits and giggles because that's, you know, I've got nothing better to do. We want a resolution. That's the ultimate ending of all of that, right? So customer expectations are not rising. Part two of that is that I was recently doing a couple of roundtables, and it was really, really interesting. So it was all up. There was about 100 people, right? And I did a series of these roundtables, and I asked about this. We started talking about trust and asking, you know, would you rather trust a human than trust AI? And there was a real split, like a really obvious split, that there was an older generation. I can't pick exactly the generation, but let's just call it like Gen X and above, or are all saying would rather speak to a human. Anyone born after that were saying no, I'd rather speak with an AI. And I question, like, why is that? And one of the comments really has stuck with me ever since. And this young woman said, I just don't feel judged by AI. And I was like, whoa, that's really interesting. Yeah.
That's true. I love it. Here's what I would say, though, on that one. I agree with you that customer expectations are not rising. I do believe they're changing now. Let me give you my example. I was an agent when we had green screens. You're too young to know what this is, Luke. Let me explain to you. Back in the day before you had a computer, green screens, pressing the keys, right?
So mate, I was there. I started out on DOS base.
Oh, did you get you? All right. So if you think about it, that's back in the old days in the early 90s in contact centers.
Had to get my walking cane out.
What changed? Then I went to a desktop. Then I went to a laptop. Then I went to thin screens. The job is still the same. Our job has not changed. But how you connect, how you do that, that's where I talk about it's not rising, but it is changing. That's all I had to say on that. All right. Did you want to say something on that one?
It's all you. Let's go.
I just want everyone to know that I was on a green screen. That was the whole purpose of that one, Luke, to tell you how old I am.
Yeah, man. Right. I reckon we're not far off each other, man.
Well, you wear it much better than me. I'm losing my hair. You got tons of hair. I mean, I'll be bald by the time we see you next year. All right, question number 5. For all of our listeners today, all the leaders that are out there listening to this podcast, what is one change they could make in their organization to start building stronger trust, not only for themselves, their leaders, but like the customers of tomorrow? What advice you got for my friends out there, Luke?
Let's break it down into 3. I think I'm not going to give you the standard answer of walk a mile in your own customer's shoes.
Don't give me the standard.
No.
We know each other too long.
Here's three tips I would give leaders for tomorrow. First, build lighthouse metrics. So we keep trying to give these little metrics that are often very binary, and we deliver these to C-suites and expect them to care. They don't. It's just a solve it if it's very binary. What's the so what? So I think we need to develop lighthouse metrics. Pick 2 or 3 and then deliver those. So, because when, if you have a lighthouse metric, it means that you've got all those little metrics that you're used to measuring that you can pull levers and start to adjust. But when a C-suite starts to see something like a CX risk score and sees or a CX tech risk score, they start to go, oh, okay, that's the thing. What do we need to do to start to adjust that? That gives you freedom to then start to work the little metrics that maybe you've probably never reported, but you know make a difference. It gives you the opportunity to start to play with those. So develop lighthouse metrics, number one. Number two, let's start measuring the handoff and not the containment. Like let's start to really call that out and shut the door on containment. Okay. As a success measure, you know. The only success measure. And then the third and final one is, I think we need to own the fix. So as CX, as contact centers, as we need to start to take a little bit more responsibility around, owning the fix. We need to stop outsourcing it. Okay. And I don't mean to offshore. I'm talking about outsourcing it to the guys that are sitting in IT. For the world.
That's the reason I love Luke.
We've been doing it. I'm guilty of it, right? Someone comes up to you, it's like, oh, I can't hear the customer, or my headset's not working, whatever. It's headed over to, punted over to IT, lodge a service desk ticket, and it's a real challenge. If we don't own that, if we don't start to understand the technical aspects of the work that we do, then we're not fully in control, and we and then the story goes, you know, lodge a service desk ticket, agent lodges a service desk ticket. What does IT do? They come back like, oh, can you give us the call logs and the network logs? Agent's like, oh, what? And then, you know, they're also in their third call since they lodged the ticket, right? And then, so then they're like, I don't know how to do that. And then IT comes back. It's like, oh, well, you know, and here's a sign of my age. You know, if IT would ask me, it'd be, and you're on say like a Cisco phone, you used to have to like our phone, which actually had number pads people. You would have to like push like hashtag 67182, whatever the code was, download the logs, attach that to a ticket, send that back to IT. To a certain degree, that still happens, right? We still have to get call logs. That goes back to IT. And guess what? It's point in time. So then they're like, ugh, can't replicate it. Sorry. 3 days later, you get something come back. Agent's forgotten all about it, right?
Replicate is number 2. Number 1 is, did you reboot?
So we need to own it, right? We need to own. Take some responsibility and get some ownership around identifying where these issues are and to be able to service this ourselves. And that is where I believe that CX observability comes in. It starts to give ownership back to the people who it matters most to.
Yep.
It gives them some technical expertise. And this is where AI is awesome, right? You can start to use your natural language. You don't need to know how to code or understand getting into finding different things. You can just use large language models to query that data and find out where the challenges are and then start to fix those. Because yep. We did a study of 148,000 tickets. That's a lot of calls that had a service desk ticket. 54% of the issues that were on those tickets were audio related. That's wild. That's wild when you think about how many of our experiences, that's 54% of all your customer experiences failing. You know, that's time agents are off the phone. That is time IT is spending on stuff that they may or may not be able to fix because they don't have the real-time data. So for me, own the fix. Stop outsourcing it to IT.
Yep.
The way you do that is through observability. That's three.
Awesome. And I will say one thing that I did learn today that I'll add a number four for you. Start scoring every AI and human interaction together on the same rubrics. I like that. Manu, close us out. What do you got to say about this?
So I'll add the fifth one, and that is very standard, but it's big standard because people are forgetting it. And that's listen to your customers. Let them dictate how they want to be served. Make sure that just because you have started using AI doesn't mean that now you don't need to listen to what they are saying.
Love it. Good deal. All right. So thank you guys so much for joining our leadership podcast with Luke. As always, it's great to see you. Can't wait to see you on the road again. So, Luke, if someone wants to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you?
You can contact me on LinkedIn. I'm trying to be fairly active on there. So, Luke Jamison. And, shoot me an email. Perfect. I'm luke@operata.com.
Oh, perfect. We will throw it in the comments below. But, Luke, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with Manu and myself. It was so good to see you in Vegas. I can't wait to see you at our next show together. But thank you, listeners. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and everyone have a great day.
Thanks, Suru.